as Christians prepare to sit at the Lord's table, there are often two questions that trouble them. One side is concerned, is it all my work? Or is this God's work? They're maybe very conscious of their own seeking and knocking and asking, and yet, is this of God? And then, on the other side, there are those who are so conscious of God, of God's knocking and of God's seeking and of God's calling, and they worry, have I responded aright? Have I heeded this call? I would like to look at these two dilemmas, these two quandaries, these two perplexing conditions and states this evening. We'd like to do so by looking at two texts, one from Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And especially that last phrase, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And the other text we'd like to look at together with this is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. These are the words of the Lord Jesus to the church of the Laodiceans. He says to them in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. We'd like to look this evening at two doors, then at two knockings, then at two openings, and then at two enterings. First of all, though, let's look at two doors. Two doors are brought before us here in these two texts. The first door in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 is the door of heaven. And the second door brought before us in Revelation 3 is the door of our own heart. Let's look at these two, try and separate them and see the difference between them. First of all, the door of heaven as brought before us in Matthew chapter 7. Here Jesus is addressing us and saying to us, knock, and it, that is, heaven's door, shall be opened. So there's clearly a door brought before us that we are to be knocking at. The door of heaven. And clearly, from the words of this text, that door is shut upon us. It's closed. It's saying no entry. It's barring us. It's keeping us out. It's presenting an obstacle, some barrier to heaven itself. It's blocking our access. It's saying you are barred from heaven. You are barred from the presence of God. You are barred from His favour. You are barred from salvation. And of course, this is the door that was shut in Genesis 3. The door that God made open to Adam and Eve to enjoy heaven and fellowship, the favour, the mercy and the love of God. When they sinned, it just came down like a shutter, closed over, barring them, excluding them from the presence, the favour, the mercy and the love of God. And so we are born, shut out. We are born on the other side of this closed door of heaven. And we're conscious of that, aren't we? We're conscious of separation. We're conscious that sin has estranged us, alienated us, distanced us, put up this huge barrier between us and God. Who is not conscious of that? It's intimidating, isn't it? You think of how our own sins have added to the thickness of the door, added to the height and the width of the door. You think, how can I ever get through to heaven? How can I enter the presence of God and enjoy His favour? It's intimidating, this door. It's threatening. It's forbidding. But hopefully, it interests you. Hopefully, it's a door that you have not given up hope of entering. Hopefully, it's a door that you desire at least to approach and consider. Heaven's door, yes, is barred, but if we have any sense, if we have any spirituality at all, we're not going to just run away and give up. Heaven's door is here, and it's calling us to approach it, to consider the seriousness of our position being on the outside. This is the door brought before us in Matthew chapter 7, the closed door of heaven, the barred, bolted door of heaven. But that's not our only problem. There's this second door that we find in Revelation chapter 3. You know, the person that becomes concerned about heaven's door and their relation to it soon becomes aware of another problem door. Their own door. The door of their own heart. And that's the door that Jesus is referring to here in Revelation 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, singular, this is dealing very personally and individually, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him. Again, it's saying this is a closed door. So, for somebody to be saved, two doors have to be opened. The door of heaven and the door of our own heart. And that's equally solemn, isn't it? We are born with a heart with a shut door that says to God, no entry. Everything else can come in, no problem. But God, no. We have locked the door, the padlock is seized, the hinges are rusted, there are cobwebs all over it. It is closed to God. That's how the Bible presents our human nature. And it's inviting us, through the words of this text, to look at the door of our heart. To look within. And to ask ourselves, how can this be? Why is this? Should this be? And just as equally we should be concerned about the closed door of heaven, we should be also concerned about the closed door of our own heart. In fact, what's the hardest of the two doors to open? Is heaven's door harder to open than your heart door? I think the heart door is harder to open than heaven's door. I think the Bible portrays God as more willing to welcome sinners than sinners are to welcome God. So the closed door of heaven's a problem. The closed door of our own heart is at least an equal problem. two doors. But notice secondly, there are two knockings. In Matthew chapter 7, let's go back to heaven's door. He says, "Knock, and it shall be opened to you." Now, this is assuming that somebody has become conscious of heaven's door. And they haven't run away from it. In fact, they've come near to it. And they're not just standing there looking at it. They are so concerned about where they are in relation to God and this door, this barrier, that they want it changed. And so they go up to it and they begin to knock. "Knock," he says, "and it shall be opened." So the door's forbidding and it's intimidating. But such is the need, such is the concern generated in the heart that the sinner says, "I have to at least try." And notice though, as they approach this intimidating door from a distance, closer up, they see writing on it. And what's written on it is an amazing promise. It says, "Knock, and it shall be opened." Think, that door, that huge door of divine justice, closed rightly against me, just knock, and it's opened. Oh, that must be for others, surely not me. No, there's no qualification here. In fact, he goes on in verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." There's no narrowing down here, is there? There's no exclusion. It's saying it doesn't matter if you're the simplest or the most scholarly, the poorest or the richest, the worst or the best, the most moral or the most lawless, the one who is respected or completely scandalous in living. It just says, "Knock, and it shall be opened." It doesn't matter who you are. Isn't that an amazing promise? Where do we knock on the door, though? You might imagine that door having different panels on it. And sinners come to this door, and depending on the way that God has led them in their lives and in their spiritual pilgrimage, they'll knock on different parts of the door. Maybe there's a panel that says, "The promises of God." And so a sinner comes along and takes a promise and knocks on that promise. Or there's another panel that's the mercy of God. Another panel, the love of God. Another panel, the power of God. And here comes a weak sinner, conscious of their bondage and their slavery to sin, and their only hope is divine power. And they see a panel that says, "God is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him." And they knock on that panel. Or maybe they go to that cross-shaped panel in the middle. And they knock on that. Different ways. Different places to knock on that one great door. And how should we knock? Well, the wording here is that of continuous knocking. I remember when I used to do door-to-door evangelism in Glasgow, a rather rough area of the town, of the city of Glasgow, very poor area with gangs, and I have to be honest, I hated doing it. I was terrified doing it. In fact, I remember going round with another person who was very gifted at this and who loved doing it. Oh, it used to feel such shame. And we'd go up to doors and this person would be so full of enthusiasm, and looking forward to talking to the next person that opened the door, and I was maybe even hoping there was nobody in. And when he would knock the door, it would be with such gusto and enthusiasm, and I could barely summon the strength to tap it at times. And the difference was in the desire. How much did we want that door opened? And so when we read here about heaven's door, Jesus saying to us, look, knock, and it shall be opened. What kind of knock are you going to use? How great is your need? How strong is your desire? How desperate is your plight? If you've got to that place that you cannot do anything else, then you're going to knock and knock and knock and knock as long and as loud as you need to get that door opened. Knock, 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 knock is really the literal translation of this, and it shall be opened unto you. Knock with sincerity. Knock with faith. Knock with hope and optimism and confidence. Two knockings, though, because there's another side here in Revelation 3. This is Jesus knocking. First is our knocking on the door of heaven. Here, the Lord is knocking on the door of our heart. And again, we see this sort of merge, this interaction of the divine and the human, the sovereignty and the human responsibility, because the person who begins to knock on heaven's door is conscious, or becomes conscious eventually, that someone's actually knocking on my door. Now that varies in the Christian's experience. Sometimes the Christian is conscious of them knocking for a while, and eventually they become aware that, well, actually, somebody's been knocking on my door all the while. In fact, the more we look back, the more we interpret our providence, we see he actually began the knocking. And I was only responding to his. Others, this knocking of the Lord on the door of our hearts is definitely first. We know it. We know we were not seeking. We were not consciously looking for this door. But the Lord Jesus came into our lives and began knocking. Maybe he knocked at our frailty, knocked us down with an illness or a disease. Maybe he knocked at our mortality, bringing us into contact with death in our families or a friend. Maybe he knocked at our vanity, making us lose our business and our money, reducing us to nothing. Maybe he knocked on the door of our sinfulness, began pointing at what we'd done and been and said, not done, been and said as well. But whatever he starts knocking with, we begin to feel the knocks. We begin to be aware that there's something changing within. There's some power, there's some force, there's some urge, there's something that was not there before. How do you explain this? Here is the explanation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And so, one way or another, the one knocking at heaven's door eventually realizes that it's only in response to heaven knocking at their heart's door. Sometimes God will knock with his works, sometimes with his word. Sometimes he'll come with one of his attributes, his holiness, his justice, his all-seeingness into our lives. But something begins to just shake us and shudder us and make us wake up, and we can't shake this off. We realize something's going on here. Sometimes the knocks are deafeningly loud. Other times it's just tap, tap, tap. Sometimes there are gaps between the taps or between the thuds. But we know he's after us. He's coming. He's hunting us down. He's pursuing. He's seeking. What a blessing. If you've ever knocked on heaven's door, be assured of this. It was because he knocked first on your heart's door. And if you right now are knocking on heaven's door, know this. It's only because he's begun to knock on your door. But notice here, thirdly, there are two openings. In Matthew 7, we read, "Knock and it shall be opened to you." Big door, impenetrable seemingly, but with a promise. We start knocking, and it begins to creak open. Light begins to enter our lives. We begin to be aware of a heavenly and a spiritual dimension in our lives, in our human experience that we just never had before. We realize we're entering another world. Or another world is entering us, as we'll see in a moment. Heaven is coming to earth. Heaven and heart are meeting. Sometimes, though, it says, "Knock and it shall be opened," but God may keep us there for a while. He may not open with our first knock. He may test us. He may prove us. He may ask us to demonstrate the sincerity of our knocking and desire. But the promise is, if you don't give up knocking, he will not break his promise. He will open that door. Knock, and it shall be opened. No one has ever knocked at that door. And it remained closed. Won't happen to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It might be sudden. We think of the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was then, on the Damascus Road. God, as it were, came with a battering ram into his life and just rammed down his door. Might be Lydia-like, whose heart the Lord opened. It's almost imperceptible, almost inaudible, almost invisible, so gradual, so gentle. The opening can therefore be violent. It can be just full of peace. But however, that knock will open it. That door is willing to swing open. You open and you see things you've never seen before. You understand things you've never understood before. Light begins to enter your life. Love begins to flood your heart. Because at the same time heaven's door opens, so does the door of the heart. Because we read here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Here is the side of human responsibility shown. Here in Matthew 7, it's more about sovereignty. God is in control of that door opening. Here it's saying, if any man hear my voice and open the door. As one door opens, so does the other. The speed may vary. A person may have heaven's door open to him, and yet the door of his own heart still not be quite open fully. That period can be a time of great conflict and tumult and uncertainty. As maybe the devil puts forth his last attack. The devil sees this man, this woman, this boy, this girl slipping from his grasp. And so as he sees heaven's door open to this sinner's knocking, and he sees this sinner's heart opening in response to the Lord's knocking, in he comes with his wedges and with his barriers and his obstacles to stop this great coming together of two doors, two knockings, two openings. Heaven can be wide open to this newborn believer, and yet the newborn believer not have a full assurance and confidence of it as he feels the door of his own heart, yes, opening but closing, this battle going on. That can go on for a long time. Again, it can be very sudden, can be very gradual. The Lord has his ways with all of us according to his great wisdom. Two openings. But then finally here, there are two enterings. It doesn't actually say in Matthew 7 that there's an entering. But it's implied, isn't it? The end is not the door. And the end is not the knocking. And the end is not the opening. The end is the entering. And the enjoying. What's the point in getting to the door, knocking on the door wide open, and we don't walk through it? Enter into it fully. Until we do, we will not enjoy the full flood of heaven's blessings in our lives. We'll get the beams coming through the door. But there's this call to enter in. Just as here, open the door and I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So we are entering God's door as God is entering our door. We are, as it were, entering heaven as he enters our heart. And there's this coming together, this coming to him, supping with him and he with me. These great barriers of these two ironclad doors have been turned to dust, as it were. And the two parties, so irreconcilable and so at enmity on either side of it, are now together, enjoying, no longer estranged and alienated, but union and communion with one another. And the wonderful thing is, when we enter the door, we enter the door of conversion, we enter into heavenly blessings here on earth, the barrier between us and God has been removed by us trusting in the great barrier breaker, Jesus Christ. And as soon as we enter, we hear a door shut behind us. And it's locked. And we'll never get out again. And we don't want to, surely. we knock, the door opens, we enter, and we are secure. We cannot go back if we're truly in. We're safe, and safe forever. And the same goes with the opening of the Christian's door as well. When the Lord enters in, he never leaves and he never forsakes. The door shuts behind him. And he promises as soon as he does, I'm not going away. Never, ever, 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 ever. However, our sense of union and communion can be affected. The objective truth of us in, never out, him in, never leaving, that never varies, but our feeling of it, our sense of it, our experience of it can change. We can grieve him. We can quench the Spirit of Christ that fills the heart. We can, as it were, silence and stifle the Lord in the heart by our sin, by our turning to the passive disobedience, by rejecting his ongoing knocking, his longing for union and communion. But as we approach the Lord's table, I hope this will help you to answer these great questions, these two great puzzles, these quandaries that we can get ourselves into. When we are so conscious, maybe in our experience of grace, that I think I've done everything. Is this the Lord's work? Or is it just all me? I hope this will encourage you that if you've knocked, it's because he's already been knocking. And if you've entered, then it's only because he has entered you. And if you feel, yes, no question, God has been knocking and working and striving, but I wonder if I've responded aright. Well, here's the pathway of response, isn't it? As he knocks, knock back. As he calls, call back. As he seeks, seek back. Don't just sit there. Don't just wait. Don't just get pessimistic and fatalistic. This is a call to knock and to seek and to find. And as we look ahead to sitting at the Lord's table, let's pray for one another that we would know in the coming days, even as we prepare, the Lord's knocking on our hearts, provoking our knocking on his. And if you are still on the wrong side of that door of heaven, and if that door of your heart is still rammed, jammed shut, call upon his name. Ask him to come and to start knocking irresistibly on the door of your own heart. Say, Lord, I read Revelation 3:20. I see this beautiful picture of you standing at a door and knocking, 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 calling, calling, calling. Open up, open up, open up, and promising, I will come in and sup. Lord, come and do that in my life. Come and do this great, sovereign, mighty work in me. Come and knock. As soon as I hear, I'll answer. And that very prayer is you knocking on his door as well. So, may there be within and in heaven this evening much knocking, knocking, knocking. Us on the gate of heaven and he on the door of our hearts. And may there be this uniting and this communing one with another. Amen. Let us pray. Our glorious door opener and door knocker, we confess that it's not easy for us to interpret thy ways with us. We can so often get imbalanced in our view of thy work and our response. We pray that this parallel we've been looking at this evening would help thy people to trace thy steps in their lives better, to encourage them. And also for those who are still outside thy door and whose hearts are still closed to thee, may that quandary, may that huge problem create stirrings within and give words of prayer and guidance as to what they should do and where they should go and what they should say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.